Hello. Welcome to another installment of the Central American Group's podcast, in which experts discuss topics related to doing business in Costa Rica, El Salvador, and the rest of the region.
Hello. Today we have Pilar Madrigal with us. She is the Director of Investment Advisory with an organization called CINDE. CINDE is a well-known organization. I'll let you tell us about the organization as well as yourself, but they're located in Costa Rica. Hi, Pilar. How are you doing today?
Very good, Steve. Thank you so very much. It's an honor to be here with you. You are also very well known and recognized, and I've been following your trajectory in foreign direct investment. So I'm very happy and honored to be here with you. I'm Pilar Madrigal. I've been with CINDE for the past 26 years. In various roles, always focused on sector analysis and promotion and strategy and so on and so forth. CINDE is a private nonprofit organization that was founded 40 years ago. And our focus has been the attraction of foreign direct investment. We've helped a number of companies through the years in coming and setting up operations in our country.
Well, a lot of interesting things to take into account when looking at Costa Rica. Costa Rica has been very successful over the years in attracting FDI. But over the years, there's been an evolution in terms of the economic model that the country has pursued. Can you tell us how this has changed over time?
Yes, absolutely. So, we see this in kind of like three periods. There was the beginning was in between the 60s and the 80s. Like many other Latin American countries, we initially adopted an import substitution industrialization model. And it was aimed to reduce dependency on foreign goods and promote domestic production. So, the idea was to foster industrial growth for the local companies in the country, small and medium local companies. Now, by the early 80s, we faced an economic crisis for different reasons. And one of the sectors that was heavily affected was the agricultural goods, like coffees and bananas. So at that point, we started implementing some economic reforms and began to start thinking about how to position Costa Rica in global markets. CINDE was created in the early 80s, and we then started focusing on export promotion, right? And so there was a law created. It's called the Free Trade Zone Law. And the idea was to then start promoting exports through not only helping with policies to help other companies exports with incentives, but also to attract companies and have them, export. And that was in between the 80s and the 90s. So it was a combination of local and new companies to promote exports. Now, as of the 90s, from the 90s to today, there has been a complete focus on, and it was a significant leap in positioning ourselves as a destination for foreign direct investment. And so we clearly defined some sectors at that time. The biggest and most well-known case is Intel. I think everybody kind of knows that story. But we started then focusing on attracting high-tech companies in manufacturing and companies in the services industry primarily high value services industry. So again, we went from an import substitution program to an export promotion of both local and foreign companies. And then in the last decades, in the sole attraction of foreign direct investment.
So you've gone through a period where you were trying to substitute imports. And obviously, a lot of Latin American countries have tried that, went through a period of doing that. And that really isn't the optimal way of engendering economic development to promoting exports. And recently, you've been very, very successful in attracting one kind of industry when it comes to FDI. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes. So, you know, just for the purpose of definition of everybody that listens, and I'm sure everybody knows, but just for clarification. So there we see mainly kind of three pillars of FDI or three types of FDI. One is resource seeking FDI, which is when a company is seeking to invest in a location because of its natural resources. That's typically prevalent in the energy and mining, or sometimes in the agri-food industry. And that's resource seeking. They're looking to, you know, what's available in that country in terms of resources. The second one is market seeking. And that is that company seeking to invest due to the market size and the growth potential within that market size. So that is, it's in high correlation between FDI and the growth of GDP within a country and the size of the country, clearly. And the third one is efficiency seeking. And that's when a company is looking to invest in a location because of better production processes, efficiencies, lower costs, and so on and so forth. So we in Cinde, that's where we are focusing in efficiency seeking. And why? We're a small market. So market seeking, you know, it's not something that companies are looking. And resource, you know, we don't really support mining. And there are, you know, not necessarily a lot of incentives for resources. And so we focused on efficiency seeking, and that's been how we attract. And then we help companies be more efficient. And then they can, you know, at the end, you know, meet their bottom line, which is, you know, be more productive, efficient, and have lower cost options.
One of the sectors that Costa Rica is famous for is the medical device cluster that it has developed over about the last 30 years. Can you tell us, number one, how is that achieved? And number two, why you think Costa Rica has become such a popular place for companies that are involved in these activities?
Yes. So I'll tell you, it did not start with the medtech industry, right? As I mentioned, at the very beginning, we started with electronics. There were a couple of companies that were completely pioneered. They were pioneers in setting up operations in that industry, in the electronics, even before the free trade zone incentive system. And so we started kind of, we piggybacked on that to focus on electronics. And that's where Intel came. Now, you know that the electronics is it's correlated to the economy. Right. You buy a TV only if you have the extra income to do that. So it is a highly volatile industry. And because we had started to be so successful, we could not really let go of that growth tendency or that growth traits, right, of attracting foreign direct investment. And so we said, well, what sector is one that we know that has been stable and that the growth is sustained? And after analysis, of course, well, the medtech industry in general, unfortunately, we're all getting older. Everybody, you know, needs medtech at some point or another. So we started then focusing on that industry. It did not say it that didn't mean that we let go of the high tech. It literally was, okay, what other, how can we diversify to make sure that we continue growing? And so we started, there was a company already in Costa Rica called Baxter. Everybody knows about Baxter, but then after that, we really started working on bringing other OEMs in the country. So today, what we've done is we have a number of OEMs, everybody from Boston Scientific, Johnson & Johnson, Abbott, Edwards Life Sciences, a number of them. And we knew that because it's such a highly regulated industry, that there was an ecosystem of suppliers that were potentially also candidates to come and set up operations in the country. So then we did a whole gap analysis of what we had and what we didn't. And then we started then focusing on creating that ecosystem of the medtech industry. And so the successful story is how we created that ecosystem. And that has led into the possibility of these companies, not only more companies coming, but also that diversification of the products that they are making. So today we do in Costa Rica devices to, you know, in neurovascular all the way to, you know, orthopedics. Cardio, endo, well, we have pharmaceuticals as well, you name it. So it has really been a diversification of the OEMs, contract manufacturers, you know, suppliers and contract manufacturers, but also the diversification of the type of product that they're exporting. So that is that has been the secret of our success.
So, taking all of this activity into account and the success that you've had in implementing plans and taking gap analysis and working to reduce those gaps, what has been the result in terms of economic growth for the country?
Well, pretty significant. You know, we're very proud to say that we have attracted over 420 multinationals to Costa Rica. And they have generated about 190,000 employees. And again, so imagine that in terms of FDI flow. It has grown at an average annual rate of about 7.8% ever since 2000. So it is a real impact. We're talking about not only the attraction of these companies and the employment, but all the linkages, all the support that all of this is given to the economy. So we're very proud to showcase those numbers. We're continuing really, really to hope that this trend moves in the future as well.
Beyond those considerations, how do you know if you've been efficient in your efforts? Do you have certain KPIs that you establish and achieve? Could you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So the good thing about Zinde is that, you know, from the beginning, we have a very business-oriented mentality. And when, you know, in any business, you have to have KPIs, you have to monitor them, and you have to establish them very clearly from the beginning. So we have a very, I would say, strong and transparent KPI monitoring system that has enabled us to understand how to better use our budget and be more efficient. So ensure that our budget is invested where it has to be invested. And I'll give you an example. We know, for example, that in 2022, for every Zinde collaborator, there were 378 new jobs created for Costa Ricans. And you know, that is actually almost, it's 2.75 more than Ireland, which is another great success story. And then we know that each of those generated jobs have cost us $155. So, we track everything within the organization. We have a very sophisticated CRM, and it gives us exactly what strategies have been the best. We use that as how to then move into the next year for strategy. And that way we really know where our money needs to be spent. Now, all of this, I think for us, the most significant result is that according to the IADB and the University of Colorado, seeing this involvement in supporting investors increases the probability of that project to be completed by 12 percentage points. So that is the impact of having a very efficient, lean, business-oriented organization that talks, that language.
Well, another thing that's been tossed about recently is the term nearshoring. Obviously, when COVID kicked in, it was kind of stripped bare the probability or the possibilities of certain supply chain problems appearing as a result of having a supply chain that was far-flung and distant, began to show themselves very clearly. So the term nearshoring has been very, very ubiquitous over the last few years. Taking that term into account, what types of opportunities are there for companies in the realm of nearshoring in Costa Rica?
Yes. So I do have to tell you, I think, the term near shoring or the way that we've seen it is it's always existed, right? The reason why, the companies go to a region is because they know they're going to be near where they need to supply their products. So I think it's just now it's a new way of phrasing it because of the changes in geopolitics and so on and so forth. But it has always been the case of why a lot of these companies set up in a country near to another one. So I do like the fact that we are getting a lot of attention recently. And that's good for the entire region, not only for Costa Rica. Now, in order for us to really take advantage of that, we kind of have a very clear definition of what is quick wins, what are midterm opportunities, and what are long-term opportunities. So, the quick wins we see that are products that Costa Rica already exports to the US. And so the reason is companies already have the know-how, they already have the network, and they do have that competitiveness to increase in the participation of that global flow. I mean, so that's something that we consider kind of, there's a company that does this, why not another, right? And so that's kind of a quick win. It's a good and mature sector. The medium term is more products that the US imports from other regions, and Costa Rica does not yet export significantly to the US, but it does export to other regions, right? So a company that is in Costa Rica and we export to Europe, okay, why don't we now then, talk to that company and say, clearly there's an opportunity to this region and nearshoring. And then the long term is products that the US imports from other regions and Costa Rica does not export, but we are close enough to be within that possibility. So again, quick wins, we've done it. We know we can do it well. Medium, the US imports from other regions, but Costa Rica doesn't export significantly to the US, so we can, then create more awareness. And then long term is what do we not do that is needed in a country like the US or Mexico? What are those industries? How are they growing? And how then we can move? And when we say long term, is because it typically takes a little time. The semiconductor industry, for example, there is a lot of boom about it and things will happen. It's just we're just everybody, the US and everybody else, is starting to accommodate into that industry. So there will be opportunities, just probably not right now.
Yeah, it seems like it'll take a decade or so for some. In my opinion, there's so much involved in that supply chain that has to be put into place that isn't there today. So obviously, that's not going to be a short-term win.
Yes, I agree.
Listen, Scene:Day is recognized globally as a quality and successful economic development agency. And given that being the case, what would you advise other investment promotion agencies that are perhaps looking to rise to the same level of success? What kind of advice would you give to them?
I think IPAs and countries, they need to know that attracting foreign direct investment, it's recent, it's about creating long-term relationships. It is extremely important to have kind of a same mindset and participation of multiple stakeholders. From the government, the private and academic institutions. So I think creating a country brand that really resonates with everybody and knowing that this has to be a long-term strategy, that's important. We see a lot about a lot of changes in many countries with changes of governments, right? And that's not the way businesses think, right? They really think long term. If they're going to invest, they're going to put a lot of money, and they want to know that they can stay there for a long time and that you're going to support it. So really, don't limit to what's going to happen next year or what I need to do within the next year. Really try to do this very from the beginning, thinking about, where you want to be in 10 years, 20 years. And it's okay. It has taken us 20 years to build a medical device cluster, but we never gave up. It's a work in progress, and it will continue to be a work in progress. Important to know that the competition now for foreign direct investment is fierce, and that you really need to continuously adapt to global economic shifts, rethinking sectors. We internally in Scene:Day, we do this every few years, like every 4 or 5 years, in which we analyze 23 criteria or drivers. Then we do our competitor analysis, and then we literally do a customized, I would say, approach according to sector and country, but we do that constantly. So rethinking sectors, subsectors, geographies with certain frequency is absolutely key. And to me, those are the most important things, right? Just think long term, revisit. Don't lose the focus, but find new opportunities, new geographies, new subsectors, to ensure that you might maintain that relevance within, within the global value chains.
One thing that I've come to learn throughout the years is very simply, if you're looking to get into an activity that'll provide you with instantaneous gratification, this is not the activity to be in. It takes time.
It does. Time, perseverance. I have a story that I actually worked from the day that I met a company to the day that they set up operations in the country. It took 20 years until they actually set up the operation in the country. So,
That's what I call patience.
yes. Yes, it's you have to have that that and perseverance and knowing that things will evolve if you do them properly, well analyzed, and clearly with excellence.
We've covered quite a bit of ground in a short period of time. And one of the things that is evident over having done many of these podcasts over the years is that listeners come away with information that sparks questions. And what I like to try to do is to create a mechanism for listeners with questions to communicate directly with experts like yourself. So, that being the case, how would an individual with questions get in contact with you?
Steve, more than happy to have them reach me by email. I'll share it with you. Please feel free to attach it. It's pmadrigal@sinde.org. I'm love to have conversations. You can take a look at my LinkedIn and connect there as well. But happy to for you to post my email, and I'll be more than happy to talk. And I love learning also. This is not only about me talking about me or Costa Rica, right? It's the beauty of this is that there's so much to share and learn, that I love that. So feel free to post my email there.
Okay, we'll post your email, and in the transcript section below the audio player, we'll also put a link to your LinkedIn profile so that people can have direct contact through that if that's fine with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Looking forward to having many conversations.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today, and thank you for telling us about your experience in the area of foreign direct investment in Costa Rica. We wish you continued luck and good health and happiness.
Thank you, Steve. The same to you.
Thank you for listening. Sign up to receive the Central American Group's quarterly newsletter by visiting www.thecentralamericangroup.com.